Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Insightful Journey, a podcast where we talk about tarot, spirituality, shamanism, paranormal, anything else that we can wrap our little minds around. Anyway, my name is Charlie, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host.
Hey, everybody, it's Jameson. How are you guys doing? Hope everybody's well. Been a long time.
Yeah, feels like a long time, but it's only been 2 weeks for them.
Oh, I know. That's the funny part. That's why I like recording every week.
And yeah.
I'm mad that I was kind of like just antisocial, I guess. But
yeah,
like, it happens. But that's why we recorded.
Yep. I tell people life be lifin', and so that's why we try and record, get them ahead. And yeah, we're still on top of things. We haven't missed a release, and we're not going to. So that's all that matters.
Yeah. No way. I enjoy this time too much.
I do too.
So I think. Last we chatted, I know I was pushing for more. I want to hear more paranormal stuff. Ooh. And I would love to hear more of your experiences. And I remembered the one and only paranormal experience I've had.
Ooh.
Well, that I knew was paranormal, because who knows what it was. I probably watched a sock fly across the room and just thought I kicked it.
Yeah, probably did. No. Nah, anyway, what are you doing shuffling a deck back there? I hear you. Anyway,
I'm getting ready.
Okay, you're just getting ready. You know it's going to come at some point. Anyway, yeah, we kind of ended up the last episode. We got to like an hour in and we're like, oh, we were going to talk about paranormal. Oops. So that was fun. That was a good time. I started kind of diving into things. You want to just dive in, or you want to do the tarot? What? I'm going to give you a choice today.
Ooh, I got a choice?
Yeah.
All right. I feel like pulling the cards, so here we go.
Let's go for it. All right. We'll dub in the pulling the cards music here.
Do 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 do.
Okay. Oh my god, that's like so 70s.
Okay, wow. We got some interesting shit today.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And I think this one might be, I don't know why, but I feel like this is focused towards me.
It is. I can already tell.
Yeah, so
by the way, I am in California. He is in Ohio. I have no idea what he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, dude. That would be so creepy. Let's do like a spy cam day. have our spouses set up a spy cam during the recording.
You really don't want that.
No, I don't. Not at all. So
I do this podcast naked.
That is ballsy. You know what though? I've actually thought about doing an OnlyFans where I just sat in a chair naked reading a book.
Ooh, I'd watch that.
I think people would really like it.
Of course.
I know it's crazy, but I want to do it. Anywho, sorry, way off topic.
Okay. Here we go, tangent.
I'm on tangent island today.
All right, go.
So the cards we got today is the Ace of Cups reversed.
Uh-huh.
The Two of Cups reversed.
Oh, girl.
And the Knight of Pentacles reversed.
Oh, wow, you're going in reverse.
Yeah, Charlie, I want you to do this reading, man.
I already knew that. As soon as you started calling cards, I was like,
as soon as I started, I'm like, dude, he needs to read this.
I'm like, you want me to tell you what's going on with this? All right,
yes,
so
because you'll be honest.
All right, let's go. Okay, so you said Ace of Cups reversed, right?
Yep.
So Ace of Cups, you know, cups are watery, motion, all this crazy stuff. Ace of Cups, your cup is overflowing. You turn the cup upside down. All the emotions got kind of poured out. You're in like a puddle on the ground. So you're kind of emotionally blah. You're kind of like, what do I do? You should be happy. You should be cheerful. You're kind of like, oh man, I'm trying to swim through all this stuff. So if you pull three cards, I would say that card's like the past. So you've been dealing with that, but you're coming out of it. Two of Cups reversed was the next card, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Two of Cups is always a relationship for me. There's a new relationship. Traditionally, it's like a romantic thing that's happening. With it being reversed, you could say, hey, the love affair is over, all of that. But I don't get that here. What I really get is that you're just still... dealing with the aftermath of that Ace of Cups, and it's all these memories of the past and all this stuff. You're still kind of swimming through all of this emotional stuff that you're dealing with. Because with the Ace and the Two, with the progression going like that and both of them reversed, you're still kind of swimming through it. But even though Two is bigger than One, and you would think there's more water, but with more water, the silt kind of drifts away, shall we say. It gets a little clearer. So you're kind of moving through it. You're moving better. And then what was the last card? I'm sorry.
We have the Knight of Pentacles reversed.
Ooh, Knight of Pentacles. Okay, so yeah, like I said, you're kind of swimming. Water's getting a little clearer. You can kind of see where you're going. There's an idea. There's a form. There's a plan. Pentacles being earth, grounding, material stuff. So it's like you can kind of see the land. You can kind of see the island that you're heading to. It's going to get you out of this emotional kind of that you're in. So you're heading that way, but with everything being reversed, it's just going to take you a little bit longer. This wasn't like a quick Eight of Wands lined up. You're through it. This is, you're actually got to go through all this. You're working through the emotional stuff, but the Pentacles reversed is the light is there. You can see the light on the horizon. Head toward it.
Yeah, and I kind of get the feeling of like the cards are telling me like you are looking at the whole entire ocean, trying to like take it and fill a hole with a spoon.
Yeah,
and I need to slow down and just. I get the feeling of be patient. You're taking on a lot.
Yeah, you're trying. You're being really hard on yourself. You're trying to get through all this, and it's going to take you some time and some effort. So, have grace for yourself. Have patience with yourself. You're going to get through it. You'll get through it.
Yeah, it's there. I know I will. Yeah, it'll all be fine, and that's the good thing. And like, I know I have a great support system. Like, my wife is amazing. My friends, my brother, my sisters, the soul family. I'm an only child, but everybody is there. And like, when I get really low, I do hit you guys up. Yeah. And most of the time, it's just like I pull away because I get snippy as hell, and the problem is I'll think everybody else is snippy when it's actually me being the dick.
It happens.
So I tend to pull away from people when I'm having depression, anxiety, whatever it is. I need to get a therapist. I really need to go to a therapist.
You're Scorpio, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that right there. Water. Yeah, I mean, you're already the water sign, and what? So... Oh, God. Yeah. Now we're going to call my astrology into, I don't know. I can't remember. You're one of the water signs. Are you fixed or cardinal?
What?
Fixed or cardinal water sign.
What's that mean?
There's three because, like, I am Pisces. I'm the other water sign. And there's fixed, cardinal, mutable. I'm the mutable one. I think Cancer.
I wouldn't be surprised if fixed or...
I think Cancer is the fixed. You know, they know. You know, Cancer's a crab. Cancer is like better at the water thing because they get it. They know. They understand. They're fixed. And you're cardinal, so it's like you kind of have that direction. You're going to it, and I'm sure people who know astrology are screaming at their devices.
Yeah. They're like, you guys don't know nothing.
Yeah, you don't know nothing about astrology. I was like, dude, I took two courses on Zoom. Okay, thank you very much.
I have a, like, when I say I have a minor in astrology, I mean so minor.
Yeah, like,
know that I'm a Scorpio, and if there was a magazine cover, I'd probably be on it.
I'm so far underground, I can't even find the gold. Okay, anyway. Ba-dum-bum. Minor. Ba-dum-bum. Get the play on words. Anyway, okay. You're one of those water signs. You're working on it. And
I still have a problem when people tell me I'm a water sign, because my whole life, every time I hear, like, every time I think of being a Scorpio, I see fire.
When's your birthday? Are you on the cusp?
I'm November 9th.
Oh, no? No, okay.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm, not like, really, dab in the middle.
Yeah, you're kind of in the middle of it. Okay, God, I'm going to have to pull your chart one day. We're going to have to go through your chart just to figure this out. It's going to be so cool.
Hey, I told you I'm on Tangent Island, and I brought you on board.
Here we go.
Paranormal.
Let's talk about your astrology. Yeah. Okay, right. Anyway, that's fine.
It's great. That's why I love talking to you.
I know, it's great. I have no idea where this conversation's going to go, but I love spending your time talking with
it's
you.
It's great.
That's all there is.
I want to know, what was your first major paranormal experience that that told you this is the paranormal?
Oh, geez. See, here you go. Put me on the spot. I'm all like, okay, there's 12. Okay, wait a minute. No, six of those.
This is how I get back at you for tarot readings.
I love you. You're the best. Anyway. Okay, so, I mean, growing up in a house with three distinctive ghosts in it is probably a good one. So I'll take a story from that. And in this one house we lived in, there were three ghosts. There was an evil old man down the garage. He wasn't evil. He was just angry. He was just an angry old man. He liked things his way, and we came in and moved stuff around, and he was not happy.
Stay off my grass!
Yeah, pretty much. He was that. There was like a younger kid in the area about where my bedroom was, also downstairs in the laundry room. Loved to play. He'd push you. He'd touch you. He had a lot of fun. And then upstairs, we had this lady. She would show herself every once in a while, and she was really like late 1800s, early 1900s, always kind of dressed that way. And we got the impression she was like a nurse or something like that. She had a very calming presence. So anyway, one night, we're home. My sister is living at the home and everything. We have a fireplace upstairs. And my sister's like, oh, I want to have a fire. And so she lights this fire. And, you know, she had, like, she had been drinking that day, you know. But anyway, she had a fire. All was good. You just got really quiet. Anyway.
And then she burst into flames. Holy
yeah, no.
Crap.
No, not
where
quite.
I thought it was going.
So anyway, so I'm downstairs, you know, in my room, kind of doing things in the, you know, in the... on the computer and whatever, not paying attention. My sister's upstairs and everything. And then all of a sudden, I start getting this, like, boom, boom. There was, like, something, like, kept, like tapping my chair or kept doing something. I was all like, what? What is going on? I'm like, what? You know, I can't figure it out. It's like things are trying to get my attention. And so finally, it was like, I hear upstairs. That's the only thing. It came into my head. I have no idea where it came from. It said upstairs. So I go upstairs. My sister is like passed out on the couch. Fire's going. The whole living room is like full of smoke. You know, my sister lit a fire, did not open the flue on the fireplace.
Oh my God. Did she pass out because of the smoke?
It was tired and part of the smoke, and it was, had I, like, gone to bed and, like, not come upstairs and figured this all out, my sister probably would have killed herself because of the, you know, carbon monoxide and so on. So I can't explain that in any other way because I never smelled the smoke, nothing. While I was downstairs, I had no idea until I came up the stairs and into that room. And something just told me upstairs, upstairs. So that was like the first one before I was really into the paranormal, but that really got me peaked on
now,
things.
Now, which ghost do you think it was? Do you think it was the nurse lady?
The nurse. It was the nurse from upstairs. Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought too, but I was just curious.
Yeah, that's it was crazy. Definitely her. You know, just, you know, trying to help out everybody. And years later, after, you know, I met B, and we did our investigations on the Hornet. We had a couple of cool things there on the Hornet, which was nice. USS Hornet is a...
Aren't you going to do something on it?
Yeah, actually. It's a...
Interrupting cow. Moo.
Yeah, here you go. Okay.
Anyway. Sorry.
You're good.
Sorry.
No, please. Come on. I give you a hard time. This August 16th, which is a Saturday, there is a Paracon that they're putting on the USS Hornet. They have speakers, they have guests. I actually have a vendor table there. I will be there doing tarot readings. There's an overnight investigation on the Hornet. If you are anywhere in the Bay Area and interested, please grab some tickets.
Cool.
Yeah, if you go on Eventbrite and look up USS Hornet, I can't remember the name of it, but you'll see it. It's August 16th. Anyway, it's a great thing. We'll be advertising the heck out of that coming up.
Well, you should, because that's going to be such a blast, and you're going to be there. I wish I had the extra moolah to freaking fly out.
Ah, don't worry. When you do come out here, believe me, one of the places I'll take you is the Hornet. It's a beautiful ship. I love it. I love all the spirits on that ship. It is just
That's
amazing.
Exciting.
Okay, yeah, since we're talking about the Hornet, since we have done the Hornet many times, well, overnight investigations on the Hornet, I guess I should clarify. Always on the tour, when we go around, they take you up to the Admiral's quarters, and you get to sit in, like, the room around the table, and, you know, the Admiral on the ship had their, God, what do they call them? I wanted to say servants, but that's not.
I'm having major deja vu.
That's not modern military, but anyway, the stewards up there that would, like, you know, if the Admiral needed anything, would bring him food or drink or, you know, anything they needed, so on. And so every time we sit there, I sit to where I can look out the door into the hallway, and always, without fail, there's this image, this white form, you know, you can tell it's like a form of a body. I can't see it any clearer than that, but uh-huh. He definitely comes to the door and he takes a step in. He always looks directly at me like, hi, I see you. And I always acknowledge him. We've had equipment near. He's always set it off for me, and it's direct response. I'm like, hey, you know, if you're here, can you turn that on? Doom, turn on. Thank you. Turns it off. I mean, amazing.
That's
things.
Really cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I don't know if I have, like, a definitive,
Have you ever been, like, because I've done a few investigations, but only, like, amateur with my friends, and I'm pretty sure one of the places we went to, it was, like, a myth that this place was haunted and wasn't.
Okay. Yeah.
But have you ever been on an investigation and you were just scared? I don't want to be scared doing that, but, like, has that happened, or is that something that's very rare and, like, there's a lot of, like, positive reaction?
Okay, so I'll tell you this about any place you go into, how your mindset is when you go into it is probably going to direct the interaction that you have.
Yeah, so yeah, it makes sense.
If you come in with a lot of fear, you're probably going to get scared.
You know, yeah, it's like plugging in a bad battery. Plugging in a bad battery.
Yeah, exactly.
To a device that's going to go off.
I'll be totally honest. I mean, at the beginning, yeah, oh, I'm brave, ghost hunter guy, right? Oh, God, dude, I was so scared. Well, maybe not so scared, but I was more nervous because it's all like the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't like things coming out of the dark and making me jump and making me scream,
ditto.
You know? So it's like I had a lot of that kind of nervous energy. And so I really, you know, going into things, I learned protections. I learned all the stuff. I mean, I started studying all the crystals that you can carry and stones and rituals that you can do and everything. And at one point I realized nothing's happening around me because I'm, like, so protected.
We had a similar conversation about this.
Yeah, we did. I think I lost one. Somewhere else. Anyway, I had, like, built up this whole wall around me because I was so afraid that something was going to get me that I wasn't allowing anything to happen around me.
Right.
And so I had to learn, you know, the difference there and the ease about
then, it. Then, like, becoming more knowledgeable.
Yeah,
like gaining wisdom, knowledge, and like understanding of what you're doing. Like you said, it's your mindset. Like, I know I'm no professional when it comes to the paranormal. The whole battery thing is kind of just how my brain understands. Like, if I go in scared and with bad energy, I'm only going to like add to the flow.
Yeah,
fear and bad energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I go in with like the understanding that I'm sorry, you passed. I'm just here to observe and meet and talk.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a much more beneficial and enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
But that comes with the knowing what you're up against, knowing that you can protect yourself, that nothing can happen to you don't want.
Yeah.
Or not that you don't want, that you don't allow. I know that's kind of messed up. I don't know if that even makes sense. That sounds like so bad. Anywho, sorry, I'll have to think on that another time.
No,
but like, it's, you know, the more you are there, and I would imagine that not doing it by yourself, having a professional there to help guide you would be like the best thing ever.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest things is that we got in early on a team, and our mentor Doug Carnahan, I know last time I messed up his last name and he laughed at me for the longest time, let me tell you. He was a great guy, really one of kind of the pioneers around here. He's well known in the Bay Area for his events that he put on and the activities they did and, you know, just interactions that he had with everything. Anyway, Doug taught us a lot about how to be an investigator and how to do everything. And to always, like, when something happens, if we're somewhere, like, if you're sitting in a room, you're like, hey, can you make a noise? And then, bam, you hear, like, something bang. You're like, oh, paranormal, paranormal. Really, someone left the door open, it's windy, and something would just got blown.
Right.
You know, so it was like, okay, when something happens, first thing you do, try and debunk it. You know, try and say, okay, could we make that happen anyway with the conditions that are right here? Can we make that happen again? If we can make it happen, it's not paranormal. So,
okay,
you know, so know that, you know, kind of go in. So, I mean, there's a lot of people and I know they're like, oh my God, boom, boom, we had all this activity. I'm like, no, you didn't. You had nothing going on. So we,
right,
you know,
right.
We would always, and then when you, it's, you know, like Sherlock Holmes, you know, when you've ruled out everything and you still have something happening, then there it is. That's paranormal.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's what's left. So if you can rule out every other possibility then, and there's still, you know, you can't explain it, then yes, that was paranormal. So he was a really good mentor for us, took us to a lot of locations where we got to investigate, get evidence, do things. He was a really, really great man. And it took me a while because I would still get nervous. You know, I mean, you walk down a dark hallway in a building with no power and, you know, your mind can start playing tricks on you. You know, you can freak yourself out. You can. So you have to learn. It's like, okay, no, I'm in this space. And if... the biggest protection is just you say, this is my realm. I am here on Earth. There are spirits. Yes, they're around. They can interact, but they cannot hurt me. If mm-hmm. if you just set that baseline, yes, they could touch you. They could do whatever, but they can't come into you unless you allow them. They cannot hurt you unless you allow it. You know, so if you set the baseline, it's like, hey, I am here to interact, talk, and, you know, investigate and whatever, and interact with you, but you are not allowed to hurt me. You are not allowed to harm me. You are not allowed to, you know, and set whatever boundaries you want. And then, believe me, they have to follow that guideline.
So would you say that, like, you have to be in a good mental state yourself? Because, like, I figured out why it was bothering me to... say you can't, like, you can only get hurt if you allowed it. I felt like it was victim blaming.
No, not really, because some people don't even realize that they've allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. It's like,
I think that's what I'm kind of getting at. Like, I would never consciously allow.
Yeah.
But if you're, like, that's, because this goes into, like, a whole kind of scary area of the world or universe.
I guess the way to explain it is keeping control of yourself, control of your fear, realizing what is fear, what is irrational, and being able to block that and go, no, this is just me trying to freak myself out, or this is something trying to freak myself out.
So,
you know, if you know and...
Know yourself.
Yeah, and the same thing, like when doing readings, ground yourself. If you are grounded, you are good. Nothing can get into you. They can't. There are a lot, and I know there was a whole thing that went on for many, many years. Every place you went, suddenly it was demonic. Everything was... Yeah. There were demons freaking everywhere. No.
Yes, yeah. The Satanist fear.
Yeah. This is a satanic panic, you know, times 12, because now it's paranormal. So now it's like, oh, it's things that we don't even understand. Now we're calling those demons.
Yeah, and that's so dumb.
I have yet, and I have investigated a lot of places, and I've been doing this for many, many, many years. 15 years at this point, roughly. Mm-hmm. You know, I have yet to run into something I would call demonic. I have been to Waverly Hills in Kentucky. I've been to Bobby Mackey's in Kentucky. And Bobby Mackey's, some people swear, was just crawling with demons. There's a lot of angry spirits there. I felt no demons. went to a Civil War battlefield when we were out on that trip, and that was an amazing place. Oh my God, there are guys still fighting.
That was really intense.
There are guys still fighting that battle to this day. It was nuts. Nuts. I mean, I have EVPs. I'll have to get them and play them. We have, because it was on the 4th of July, late at night, nobody around. We're the only, like, seven people in this whole battlefield. And this is, like,
whoa,
20 acres. So there's three of us, and we're off wandering around on this one spot. And then we're like, what is that? And it sounded like horses. It sounded like horses were following us. No horses, nowhere around, nobody on horseback. And so we're recording and we're like, what is that? We all stop and it's like, hey, what's going on? And you hear in the distance, you hear like a sergeant going, fire! Or, you know, kind of, you hear commands being issued to troops.
That's crazy.
It was nuts. Nuts. I was like, oh my God, it was so crazy. That's Perrysville Battlefield in Kentucky. If you ever look that up, it's
an
amazing
place. I
would
love to have that kind of experience.
Oh man, that I want to go back to that place so bad. So bad. Like I said, a lot of places, I mean, the spirits, you get angry spirits. Okay, so now you have to realize, okay, so like if you're a ghost and you're hanging out at a place, right? And now that, you know, ghost thing's like such a huge thing. You have all these groups of people coming through, all these groups. What do
imagine the energy.
Yeah. But what
leave me alone.
What do all these groups ask? Hey, do you know you're dead? Hey, do you know what time it is? Hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And it's like, and even if they do try and respond, does anybody follow up? I'm like, everybody has a digital recorder. They record for hours. Does anyone go back and listen to those recordings?
Yeah.
Do you even listen to, did you catch something? Maybe a spirit's like, yes, help me. And then you could go, oh, he said, help me. Okay, how can we help? You know, can you further that conversation?
Right.
But no, what's your name? Do you know what year it is? What year did you die? Da, da, da. And it's always like the same 20 questions. And then the next group, same 20 questions. Next group, same 20 questions. If it was you and you were in this place and you had this happening day after day after day, how would you react?
Oh, not very well. Dude, I'd be mad.
You'd be angry. Like, you'd be tired of it. So wouldn't you want to, like, try and scare people? Get a reaction?
Oh, well, first off, I'm totally, like, if I can be and am not, no, I'm not going to hurt anybody, I am a trickster at heart.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, when I pass, people are in trouble, man. I'm going to be playing jokes on everyone.
Yeah, Loki... Like, when Loki broke up into the universe, a lot of people have pieces of the energy that is the god Loki. Same with Odin, same with all gods, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I'm not saying it's true. When I had my spiritual awakening, one of the things I was dealing with at the time was feeling like I was a bad person and that I'm a trickster. And that even though my dad died of cancer, I was still feeling like somehow it was my fault. And now, no blaming, no complaining. That was something I was going through. And during my awakening, the angels that came and talked to me, which I know I sound like I'm insane, literally had a brain scan the next day. I thought I had a stroke. They showed me and let me know that, yes, I am a part of Loki, and part of my guilt is that Loki killed his father.
Ah, there you go.
And that he loves his dad, and he doesn't... If you, like, forgiveness needs to start not just with the person you need forgiveness from, but you have to understand what you did and why you did and forgive yourself and move on.
Exactly.
And during my awakening, I was able to deal with that now that I understood it. I know that sounds really weird.
No, you got it.
But like, I understood then that I know I am part of Loki, and Loki is one of my guides. He comes and fucks with me all the time. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And but there came a lot of emotions and feelings that I get from that, and understanding that I had nothing to do with my father's death. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, my friends are in the room while I'm having this experience. They're sitting there watching TV, and I'm talking to angels and checking out the universe and learning how to create galaxies and shit. And I'm not on drugs, not drunk, did not have a stroke. I literally went to the doctor the next day. But I was able to finally understand that. And so because I was like, one of the major things I had to deal with was the grief and the worry about that. I know I didn't kill my dad, but the feeling that the guilt that you have for him passing, I was able to accept that. Now here's the problem. I'm accepting that while my friends are all watching TV and I'm sitting next to them, and I start crying and yelling, I'm sorry, I love you, like out of the blue to them. Oh my gosh, dude, I was scared. Like, I literally called my friend the next day. I'm like, I know you're not like this. You didn't dose my drink or anything, did you? Like, you wouldn't do that, right? Yeah, yeah. I know you wouldn't do that. I'm going to the hospital. And I went to the hospital and got a fucking, pardon me, got a CAT scan, got checked for having a stroke, a heart attack, all those things. Everything came back fine. I was so stunned by the whole experience that, like, I didn't know what to do or how to explain that. But where did, how, why did I get onto this? This was not.
I don't know.
Tangent Island.
I know. I was talking about, you know, spirits and, you know, like how just, how tired they get of, you know, the same things happening. Yeah, like, the team that I'm on now, so I'll just fast forward because, I mean,
no worries.
I've been jumping around anyway. If this makes any sense to anybody, well, if you've met me in person.
Oh, I'm sorry, listeners.
No, it's if they've met me in person, it's like, oh, yeah, that's Charlie. It's like, okay. Anyway.
Tangent
Yeah,
Island.
So through Paracons that Doug did, he mainly did up in Virginia City. That's where B and I fell in love with that town, doing things, investigating locations up there. It's an old silver mining town up in the mountains up above Reno. So it's right there in Nevada. It's a beautiful place. You know, it's kept so rustic. The main street still has the wooden boardwalks going up and down and everything. And it's just, the entire town is haunted. It's a beautiful place. But from going through there, going, you know, during the Paracons, we met other people who are in the field. We met two wonderful people, Jay and Marie Yates, who got some fame in doing ghost hunting and so on, and they were you know, stars in the field, if you would call it. Anyway, beautiful people, good friends of ours. You know, we immediately connected. Just had a great time with them. Other people I've met, just so amazing. The amazing Patty Negri, she actually came up for one of the Paracons up in Virginia City, and we had a great time. B and I got to show her around the town, actually investigate with her, which was just surreal. And that's kind of where I...
So awesome.
That's where I learned a lot of my... It's like, they can't hurt you, and you're here. Be open to the experience. Know they can't hurt you, and then try and see what you can do. You know, if you get interactions, see what you can do with, you know, with the spirits. And then also, this other couple that we met, Bill and, oh my God.
Ted?
No, Yates.
Excellent!
No, I'm sorry, it's Jamie Yates and, oh, Bill and Chris Reap, which is, Reap Investigations. And of course, every Paracon, they would introduce Bill and his lovely wife, Chris, you know, and it's Reap Investigations. They're well known. They have teams all across the country. We're actually on one of their teams right now. We're on Reap West Coast, which is really good.
Ooh, that's cool.
So the of course the hilarious thing is, if you knew Chris, she's a firecracker. I love her to death. She actually formed the paranormal group. She actually brought Bill into the group and everything. So it's really her group. And so, you know, every time they get announced, it's like, oh, it's Bill, you know, and his lovely wife, Chris. And so we all laugh. So now we reverse it. It's like Chris and her lovely husband, Bill, you know, kind of thing.
Heck yeah.
So Reap Investigations. Anyway, they also take the paranormal very seriously. You know, just because something happened doesn't mean it's paranormal. Debunk it, figure it out, you know, actually investigate. And, you know, once you've eliminated all the possibilities and it's still happening, yes, paranormal. So, and they're highly respected. And it's because they take things so seriously. You know, they're not on the TV show, you know, as soon as something, boom, it's like, bro, dude, what? Yeah.
Like, and I think that's what a lot of people forget with a lot of the TV shows is the biggest part of what you guys are and do is paranormal investigation.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You're not paranormal scared.
Yeah.
Paranormal freakouts. No, it's paranormal investigation. You're debunking things until you can't debunk no more.
Exactly. And to believe, I tell people and they're like, oh, that's so fascinating. What happens? It's like, it's a lot of sitting in the dark and talking to yourself. It really is. Like, typical overnight, you know, say like we get there 8 o'clock at night and we're there till 5 in the morning. So, you know, what's that? 4, 9 hours, right? If you get, if you get 3 things that happen in 9 hours, that was an active night. Okay.
Okay.
So, I mean, seriously, it's not 24/7, boom, boom, boom. Oh, that book flew. Oh, there's a knock over there. Oh, this guy's talking. Boom, boom, boom. Now, you know, like most of the TV shows, most of those episodes, they are filming 2 and 3 days.
Days on end.
And then
end.
They edit it down to 42 minutes. You know, so. So you tell me, you know, over that time, you know, something's going to happen. They can get something on the show. Anyway, but there are a lot of nights, and it just gets quiet, or like some activity will pop off. It was like, oh yeah, boom, and then you start focusing, and then you just feel the energy drain away. It just happens. it's a thing.
How about times when you guys are literally, you've had a slow night, you're packing up.
Oh.
And that's when they fuck with
you. Oh, that's
oh, dang it! I can swear again.
If I could count how many times that happens, it's either, okay, battery's dying, recoders are off, we're like changing batteries, or we're just sitting there because, you know, nothing's happening, so then we just start talking among ourselves. Boom, this happens. Boom, that happens. It is all the time. It's all like, okay, yeah, the time is like, okay, there's nothing going on, I'm not going to keep recording, I turn the camera off, bam, 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 3 things happen. It's like, seriously? But it
right?
That's the way it goes. It's so nuts.
That would be me as a spirit.
It is.
Like, oh, you guys are recording me all night. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
Wait until you guys turn that recorder off.
Exactly. Exactly. There are so many times. And then we find, it's like, okay, when we try to like focus, like, ooh, we're going to make something happen. Ooh, we're going to see it happen. Now, the ghosts are like, okay, dude, we've seen all this. We're tired of that. Just, you know, do something.
Yeah.
Some of the best things we've had, like, I was in the group on the Hornet. Actually, we were going around and we were sitting in this one place, and it was, you know, we had 4 REM pods, you know, kind of lined up down the row, you know, down the length of this room kind of thing. And so we're sitting, nothing. And so one of the guys just told a stupid joke. I don't know. It was like a dad joke kind of thing. And I mean, you got to the punchline. We're like, and the REM pods went off. And so it's like the spirits were like, that's funny. So, I mean, yeah, we started telling jokes, and we got equipment going off. We got activity. It's like, oh, this one person, she was tired. She had fallen asleep, and we did something, and like everyone laughed, and she jerked awake, and like the equipment went off. It was nuts. It was like, oh, you like that, huh? So, you know, sometimes just, you know, mix it up. You know, the playbook of, you know, just asking, hey, what's your name? Well, how'd you die? Da, da, da. It's like, you know what? They've probably answered that question 9 million times. Let's do something else. You know, come up with something else. So,
right.
It's like with, you know, dowsing rods and so on. I've done that. And, you know, if there's a spirit around that likes to play, you know, kind of active or kind of interested, that's like, we'll take something. It's like, okay, hey, they're going to go hide this object. I'm going to leave the room. They're going to hide it. When I come back in, you lead me to it. You know, dowsing rods cross. Yes, I'll do that. Okay, boom. And then we'll go do that. And it's amazing some of the activity you get, because just change up the idea of what an investigation is supposed to be.
Yes, yeah.
And the other thing is like, okay, so you get all this evidence. What did you do with it? Did you listen to those 8 hours of recording? Believe me,
Right.
I've sat down and done that. I mean, on our Kentucky trip. So in 5 days, we hit Perrysville Battlefield, we hit Waverly Hill Sanitarium, we hit Bobby Mackey's, and we hit the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. Those are like four huge, huge areas. We did four places in 5 days. It was nuts. Just the amount of recordings that we did were crazy. When we got back from that trip, I think it took me like 2 weeks to go through it all.
Is one of those places in Athens, Ohio?
No, there's Bobby Mackey's
I think
is
there's
right
a
on the border, right across from Cleveland. But everything was everything except for Old South Pittsburgh was in Kentucky.
Okay.
So
Is there like is Bobby Mackey's, was that like a hospital or something?
no, Bobby Mackey's was basically like a country western bar kind of thing. Bobby Mackey
Oh,
was like
okay.
a country singer.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
thought so.
it's been on Ghost Adventures. Many places have done it. Supposedly there's like a portal in there, a portal to hell, kind of thing. But you have to say it that way, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
But and there's claims of there was a murder on the property. I mean, originally it was a slaughterhouse, and I mean, there's train tracks right out the back. There's the river, that's just on the other side of the train tracks. The interesting thing, limestone, which is a good conductor of energy, and the river. The river in that section flows backwards. So, I mean, there's all this kind of natural energy. It was a slaughterhouse, so there's already some death, some energy going on. And then it becomes this bar with this other. Oh, there was. Before it was even the bar, it was like illegal gambling. The mob was involved. People spent too much money across the mob. They kind of disappeared. So there's a lot of that angry energy all around that place. And but there was nothing demonic. There's nothing. Famously, the caretaker of the place, he lived upstairs, and we actually got up into his apartment up over. That poor guy was tortured. He was tortured. I don't know what all happened. I don't know what spirits got a hold of him, but he was tortured, that poor man. He dealt with a lot of
Terrible.
things. He also had some inner demons going on. He had problems with drugs and alcohol, so I mean, there's already, so he's already kind of fragile psychically, and then to be put in this place, and there's some hostile spirits around. So I do not have any evidence of demonic there. I did not feel any residue. I felt a lot of anger. I feel a lot of anger issues, a lot of negative. You could just feel that years and years and years of negativity happening, but I never felt anything demonic there. So,
Yeah, I would eat a demon for breakfast.
you say that, but
No, I hope to, and no, I never want to deal with anything like that. Nope, that sounds terrifying and absolutely like I act ballsy, I would be shitting my, or I'd have to wear my
Yeah,
brown pants.
exactly. Like I said, I'm all like, okay, I've never seen it. If I ever did run across something, I'm sure it would shake me to the core. I'm sure it would. I have my guardians, I have my protections. I could probably stand up for a little while, but I mean, in the long run, if a demon really wanted me, I'm sure I'd be gone. I'd be a goner.
Oh, dude, sometimes I'm very smart and follow my gut, but if I you don't always have, it's not always right. It's mostly right, but I can be gullible too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are realms we do not know. Like, I'm just like scratching, the spirit level, this level. And I'm sure there are more. There are other things. There are many things we do not know. There's so
Definitely.
many things, and I've actually talked with, we've been in classes with priests that have done exorcisms, who have witnessed all of these, and the movie Exorcist kind of just gives you a broad view of what these people actually have seen personally with their own eyes. So, I mean, there are levels there that I have never seen and I never wish to see.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm sure it is. Exactly what it is, I do not know. I could not classify, and I don't even want to talk, and I'm not poo-pooing it because I am certain these things have happened. I do know.
Right.
And the people that I have met and who have gone through these things, I trust I trust every word they say. So,
yeah.
It's a level I hope I never come face to face to.
Right. But it's also good to know from your experience, you've been doing this for like 15 years, that I think that some of the fear people have towards paranormal investigation or getting into it is that they're worried about running into bad things. Knowing that you can go on 15 years of investigations, you might freak yourself out or get a little scared, but you're going to go into this and find something and enjoy it and have a good time.
Yeah.
And it's worth doing. I want to do it. I just don't have time to even think half the time.
Yeah. We have had lots of interactions with different spirits. We have helped many of them. We faced a lot of negative, angry spirits. And, once you realize that they're just mad and angry, the way I tell it is how you are in life is how you're going to be in the afterlife. In the next life. If you were an angry, greedy man in this life, guess what?
Yeah.
Your ghost is going to be that. It's not like you die and suddenly you get this, big enlightenment and love and life and, Age of Aquarius and, free love. And no, you don't change. Your energy does not change in that way.
Right. Did I ever tell you,
What? One second. As I was telling you that, out of the corner of my eye, I thought B walked into the room. Nobody's here with me.
It's probably my dad coming to visit.
No, actually.
I heard about this guy. And, no, it's not him.
Okay. Let me get into this because I'm going to forget if I don't tell you now.
Do it.
So the guy who used to own this house that I bought, his name is Dave. Dave was a firefighter. I mean, good man, making good money, bought this house, had just bought a house in Napa. He was going to move his family there, but he was fixing this house up first for his parents to live into. Then he was going to move to Napa. Anyway, Dave's dream in life was to have a motorcycle. He always wanted a motorcycle, wanted to be able to just go on weekends, go on rides, everything. Got it all together, got the house, this house was ready to go. Finally got his motorcycle, got it, did all the training, got his license. So happy, happy Dave. Spring day, beautiful day. He's like, I'm going for a ride on the motorcycle. So there's a lake up here near me. It's called Lake Berryessa. And the roads to get there are, nice winding through the hills, kind of windy, curvy roads, beautiful. It's a beautiful drive. And you end at the lake. It's a beautiful day. So he's going along, boom, just enjoying it. Goes around a curve a little too fast, slides out because this is the first big ride on a motorcycle. Slid out into a lane and oncoming was this huge truck. Boom.
Bye-bye, Dave.
Dave's dead. So, I didn't know all this until after I had bought this house, and then we were figuring things out. It's all like, previous owner, because I was like, I got this. Yeah, it was at the end of the market crash, back in 2008. So, it was 2009 when I got it. Kind of hit the bottom of the market, so, good price, everything. But it's all like, what else is going on? Then I hear this whole story of the previous owner and why they family had to sell the house and boom, they had a house in Napa, found out all this. And then I found out the whole story. I was like, oh my, he's been here so many times. When B and I first started dating, he would show up all the time and he would.
Awkward.
B is, I was not as open to things. I mean, I'm very sensitive, very intuitive to stuff, and I've learned to open myself back up. B said he had shut all that stuff down, but he noticed things way more than I ever did when we first got together. And now now we've kind of, you know, I watch him and he's helped me open up. He's opened up more. But Dave would mess with me all the time. And so it's funny because
totally be me.
So we had done some investigations with the team. We were on a different team that was back, part of Doug's team. And it was like I think it was Memorial Day weekend or something. I was like, hey, why don't we get everyone here at the house? We'll do a barbecue. We just had that investigation. We can, like, go through our evidence. It'll be, like, a good time and everything. And that's when we got the rest of the story about Dave, and then we investigated my house. It was so much fun.
That's awesome.
Anyway, so, yeah, I still live in a haunted house. It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah. I've had only one... Well, two, but the other one, I don't know what it was, because the place we thought it was haunted, and uh-huh. come to find out that it, we might not even have been in the right place, but
okay.
I had an experience there, but I don't know what that was. But my first, like, experience where there was, like, to me, when I realized what was going on, I was like, oh, that was a ghost or yeah. a spirit.
Uh-huh.
I was living with a good friend of the family, Tom and Marilyn. They took me in when my dad and I were arguing over stupid stuff. Like, I was a big stoner and no motivation, just wanted to smoke weed. And my dad wanted me to be do better.
Yeah, do better.
Anywho, mm-hmm. Tom and Marilyn take me in. I move into their place. Their daughter, who was my best friend since we were real little. We all... we're partying one night, having fun, and I went to sleep. In the middle of the night, my friend's cousin and I were kind of dating, kind of, I don't know. Well, I thought she'd come and sat on the end of the bed and was gonna, like, trying to get me to move over. So, like, I wake up and I sit up and I look down at the end of the bed and I see a butt print. And then the butt print gets up.
Woo!
And I am sitting there going, holy crap. Like wow. I didn't know whether to freak out, whether I was still dreaming or whatnot. But what fully convinced me, is I felt the bed. Somebody sat on that bed with me. Uh-huh. And then when I looked and see a print of someone sitting there, that was the one and only experience I had where I was like, that had to have been a spirit. It was like invisible man shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's awesome.
It was so cool. And like, I remember when I was young, I would make up paranormal experiences. Uh-huh. So I do take my childhood stories with a grain of salt, but that one, I remember.
That one, you know.
Yeah, that was something. And
that's cool.
It was just crazy. I still do. I'll have to look up the backstory on their house. They live right around the corner too.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to go to Jameson Paranormal Investigator.
There you go, man. That's the other thing people don't realize, man. Just the research and getting the history, getting the true facts is like so much of the job.
Don't assume you make an ass out of you and me.
Exactly. One of the shows that used to be on, I don't even remember which one, but you know, I've watched almost all of them. They went to one place and there were reports of this entity that would come, and there was a whole story, and you know, what he looked like, da 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 da. I mean, they had this whole thing, and people, you know, everybody who visited there had an interaction with this spirit. And so they're like, okay, that's cool. You know, that'd be something we'll look for as we're doing our investigation. Well, you know, the first night, not really. They didn't have anything with it, with whatever the spirit. I can't even remember. Like, I can make up his name and say, hey, his name was James.
Bob.
And, you know, whatever. Yeah, this kind of thing. Anyway, they didn't have a thing. So the next day, they go and, like, really do the research, dive into the history and everything. There is no record of this person anywhere. It's like, that person that they swear haunts this house, and like the whole story was like he lived there, killed himself, or what, you know, I forget what the story was. There is absolutely there is no record anywhere. There's zero record.
No proof.
There's no birth certificate, no nothing. There's nothing. No census record, nothing. The person never existed. So they piece together, it's all like Because the story got told by somebody, and then it got repeated and repeated and repeated, a thought form happened. Mm-hmm. This spirit was created out of the energy of everybody saying it's there.
Yeah.
Which is nuts to me.
That makes so much sense to me. Yeah. Because, like, earlier on Tangent Island, I was telling you, like, my belief in not spirits, but minor paranormal experiences. Uh-huh. The creaking of the stairs, the door slamming. So, energy cannot be created or destroyed. Yeah. So, hence, the energy just finds a new way of going about it. But if you walk up and down your stairs for 70 dang years, 70 years, you go up and down those stairs.
Yep.
Do you think when you die and go away that those stairs aren't going to still creak like you're walking up and down them?
Exactly. Residual.
And like, yeah. And I really think that a lot of things, paranormal experiences, are the energy we put into actions. Yeah. How often you do it, the emotion you put into it. Mm-hmm. The, like, why are haunted places more often occurring because of intense events?
Yeah.
Because, when you have an intense event, a lot of the times it's usually negative. But not always, but a lot of people also consider people dying a negative thing, which is not a good thing to teach. That, like, we were talking earlier about things you shouldn't teach people. Yeah, exactly. Because death is a part of life.
Yeah.
It's a part of the universe.
Yeah.
And looking at all death as a negative thing is detrimental to everybody's mindset.
So I've investigated a couple of hospitals, which are always interesting, always. I mean, you know, think about a hospital. You know, what's going on? You know, yes, people are dying. There's disease. There's bad news being given. There are, you know, emergency rooms, traumatic accidents, although there's a lot of that energy. But then also, what else is in a hospital? There's a nursery.
Life.
There's birth. There's life. There's new lives coming in. There's new babies. There's joy and beautifulness. And let me tell you, you could go to the most creepy freaking hospital, but find the nursery, find the area where the mothers gave birth, and you will get such a light and such joy in your heart. It's crazy. It is crazy.
That makes so much sense too. It's like, I don't know if I'd have to go back and look through my books, but like, there's a Buddhist belief system, maybe it's Hindu, I'm not 100% sure, I gotta go find it, that when you reach enlightenment and you pass, you will then go to this place where you can see all of the new life being born and choose where you would go.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Which kind of sounds very pervy to me, because you're just watching a bunch of people create life, you know, two and two. But, like, imagine that, like, when you pass, you're not just going to be reincarnated as an ant. You go into the whole universe, the cosmic energy of creation and life. And you get to go, I like those two. That's going to be my mom and my dad. like, and this is just, I'm not even sure where I got that. I know I've read it in a spiritual book. And my brain keeps going to some type of Buddhism.
I'm going Hindu. Is it,
but yeah, I'm thinking Hindu too, so I have to go take a look for sure.
Honestly, I'm not sure. I've dabbled in enough different religions to have them all confused. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm spiritual. Like, the small, broken down, and like claustrophobic, like organized religion, it doesn't make sense to me anymore after studying so many and they're all right and wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Just like humans, we're all right and wrong. We're all light and darkness. You know, you're never going to find the purity of the universe until you die, dude.
That's it. That's it.
No, that sounds terrible.
None of us know.
Until you join the energy, you're never going to be able to understand fully.
Yeah, exactly. None of us know what happens after we shuffle off this little mortal coil here.
Our mortal coil.
Yeah, and it's true. My beliefs are, you know, obviously your soul is energy. As we've said, you know, energy cannot be created nor destroyed, just gets transformed. So when you leave this life, you get reunited with your soul family, whoever's not, you know, currently incarnated in this earth, you know, they're up there, and you get reunited and you get to review. Because before you came down here to be on this planet to do this again, you signed a contract. You made a soul contract. You spelled out everything that was going to happen in your life. You planned everything. You knew everything that was going to happen, and you said, yes, that is what I want to do. That is what I want to go experience. Sign the contract, and then boom, you know, you come on down. You go into the little baby that's being born. You know, that's your soul enters that baby, and the moment you come into the flesh in that way, you forgot.
The way you said that was great.
I know, it's crazy. You have forgotten that soul contract that you signed. Yes. You have forgotten everything. So now it is, boom, okay, knowing nothing, you got to figure it out. And did you do, so as you live your life, did you do this? Did you fulfill the contract that you signed, basically? I think, you know, as you progress, you get woken up, you see things, you know things, and you move through it, and you have your guides. You know, they help. They try and guide you. They can't control you. They can't make you do anything. You still have free will. That's what you signed up for down here. And you have all the base pleasures and everything that a spirit does not get to feel. So, yeah, I mean, Earth is kind of fun to come down to because you get to do all the things that you can't as a spirit. You know, you don't feel, you can't do drugs when you're a spirit. You can't have sex when you're a spirit. You know, you don't feel all of the emotion, all of that. So there's a lot to go through. But then also, did you fulfill the contract that you signed? So it's a crazy thing.
Like, funny question that just dawned on me. In a universe and where in energy, time doesn't exist.
Yes.
Is the universal energy, the energy we're a part of, is it a baby or an old man?
Well, time doesn't exist, so yes.
Right. And I forget who I was having a conversation with. It probably was you. The universe. Imagine, if we go into, that whole, people talk about the Matrix theory or the back hallways or whatever. What if the energy that is the universe, or what people sometimes call God, is blind, deaf, and can't feel? So,
there you go.
If we're all a part of him, and he wants to experience everything, to be everything, to be everything, love everything, hate everything, be experience, what's the best way to get those experiences?
There you go.
Us.
That's it.
And so every we experience life, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry, my phone just showed me something funny.
You're good.
So every single time a new person who is a piece of this energy goes and experiences and grows and learns, then they pass and they're not that they're downloaded. This is kind of why I said the Matrix thing, but their soul, what they are, who they are, it doesn't go away. So that experience is now added to the whole.
Uh-huh.
And so is maybe that's our purpose, is to give, and I'm not saying I'm right. If you're...
Don't worry. Oh no. I lost you.
Sorry. I'm so used to turning off my phone. I turned it off.
It
doesn't like that.
All right. Turn it back.
If there is and I'm not saying this is God, and I don't like giving a name to something we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
If it wants experiences, we are the ultimate device for experience. Sure. And every time we pass on, that knowledge, the experience, the wisdom to the whole, and then we are sent out to do more, but not just my soul and me pieces to make new. And sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy, but I think it's just and it's funny because I can't tell you that's right. That's just something that I think about, and I'm like, oh, that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
Especially when so many people say, for argument and religion, if God is all loving, all knowing, all this, why does he let this happen?
Why bad things happen.
It's,
Yep.
because bad things happen. That's a part of the
That's part of
universe.
it.
That's a part of experience. And you can't experience all with only experiencing half.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I don't know. I feel like I'm preaching.
No, you're good. You're good.
Be healed,
All
my son. Feel the
right.
light of the Lord upon
Okay.
me.
So, oh my
Okay, that's
God,
getting cut out.
it's fine. It's fine. So I there's only like two things that hit me. It's like you are so very young. You are so refreshing. Oh my God, I think that's why I connect with you so much. You are such a young soul. It is so fun. I'm this old jaded dude. No, actually, I'm not jaded, but I've been here so many times. It's so much fun.
You're my older brother, and
Yeah.
I cannot wait to get Melinda on because I really want to hear her past life.
Oh, this is gonna be nuts. It's nuts.
That will be amazing.
Yeah, I gotta figure out which one. Actually connected with excuse me. Let me figure that out. Anyway, person on TikTok who is amazingly gifted. He's a great guy. And I did is B had been following him for a while. And then we were sitting on the couch one Saturday morning having our coffee, and he was up on live. And I was like, oh, what is that? So I turned it in. Within 15 minutes, I knew I needed to do a reading with him.
Ooh.
Now, this is very strange because I do not allow just anyone to read for me. You know,
Right.
I am very particular. Like,
Yeah, I'm super picky.
I will research the person. I will know this. I will know that. I will be like, okay, what's their style? What's this? What's this? You know, like, I will go beyond before I'm like, yes, I want to ring with that person.
Yep.
It's very rare that I connect with somebody and go, yes, I need a reading. Like 15 minutes into his live, you know, and he had mentioned, it was like, hey, yo, you want to know more? You know, book a session with me. I was like, how the hell do I book a session? He's like, just send me a message. Send him a message. He's like, here's it. Here it is. Boom, boom, boom. Here's the options. Da, 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 da. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Bam. I'm like, with it, that day, I had a session booked. And that was so weird for me to do something like that. So out of character. And
Yeah.
then had the session with him, hour-long session, highly recommended. I'll put him in the show notes, or if anybody's really interested, message us. See, this is how we get people to message us on the anyway. No, if you want
Yeah,
more
yeah.
information, send us an email, send us whatever, message us, figure this out. This guy is amazing. Everything he said just like rang true with me. He is so good on things.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so then after that, you know, B and I had a good conversation. He was like, how was it? So I went into some details with B, and he was like, oh, I'd like to meet him. And so I messaged him. I was like, hey, you know, my husband is kind of interested too. And actually, during my session with him, I had brought up, you know, my husband and everything. He was like, hey, if you guys want to do one together, it's not a problem. I can do that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I told B about it. He goes, yeah, I'm interested. So we actually, Saturday. Yeah, Saturday morning, we had our session together with him.
Ooh.
Oh man, let me tell you. There's a lot of information I'm not going to share on the podcast. It's kind of personal.
Yeah, no.
I'll share just, you know, I'll share it with you, Jameson, you know, personally off the air kind of thing. But
Yeah.
he basically said the reason why you two are working so well right now, he goes, you've been together many times before. He goes, every time you were both on this earth, you find each other.
That's wonderful.
And I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay, click, click, click. Things are making sense now. It's crazy. It's crazy. And he also confirmed that both of us are like, we're like old souls. You know, when we're done with this one, it's like it'll be our choice. If we want to come back and do something else, it's our choice. But
Yeah.
we've played the game on every level. He goes, like, the only level that's left is like the super, oh my God, hard. Why would you even think about trying to do that? You're gonna die in 3 minutes anyway, so why? And he goes, that's kind of the levels you guys have left, so it's up to you if you want to try or not. But you know, have fun.
That's so
But
funny. Like,
it's so good. It's so good.
with my spiritual awakening, one of the things that they were telling me, the energy angels, the four beings that were there, they were telling me that if I'm ready, I can go. They're like, we know you're creative. We know you, all you want to do is go make and have fun and play. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my gosh. And they're like, here, we'll show you what we're talking about. And I'm like, I swear I'm out in the universe, literally creating new galaxies.
Yeah.
And then I start remembering who I am and what I am and where I'm at. And I remember my mom and that what was I dealing with was like guilt with my dad. What is my mom experiencing having lost her soulmate, her partner?
Yeah.
And that I knew right then and there, first off, I needed to be there for my mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And then second off, I had my own dreams and things I wanted to do in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Find the perfect family, make my family.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking. Within the year, I met my wife.
Wow.
And this was after I'd gotten myself clean from pills, mm-hmm. after I had had my awakening, sober for almost exactly a year when I met Ivy. Like we said earlier, I had given up. But not on myself. I just gave up on trying, and that's when things were like happened. The universe collided.
Yeah.
Now as me, it usually my wife, does. And our youngest daughter all have the same birthday.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. 0.00025% I think is the chances for mm-hmm. that. Yeah. I'll have to redo the math, but I'm pretty sure that was close.
No, you had a lot more to do here. It wasn't your time to
Yeah, and it was neat to get that, to know it myself, to find that mm-hmm. answer myself.
Yeah.
Because could you imagine if I had chosen to go, yeah, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sitting with my friends. I just drop dead while they're watching TV.
Yeah, that would have been an impact right there.
Oh, man, but, and then, you know, and like, what's amazing, though, is the things I told them. I have to be there for my mom. I have to find a way to make her want to live again.
Yeah.
And also follow my dreams, mm-hmm. realizing that I couldn't completely focus on my mom, but I had to be there to help her.
Yeah, you had to be there.
And finally, I stepped aside from focusing completely on my mother and trying to help her because I was fighting an uphill battle mm-hmm. with financials and all this.
Yeah.
But what was the trick was when I finally accepted I needed to do things for me, and when I met Ivy and we had our children, that was the trigger that saved my mom and made her want to live.
Yep.
Was the little ones.
Uh-huh.
Tangent Island. that should be the name of this podcast. That's perfect. This episode.
That's going to be our next one. Ooh, Tangent Island. Ooh. Maybe I would change
it. It should be like a week, like a every couple, like once a month thing. Just we go on Tangent Island.
That's it. We could do that. We could. I named the recording, you know, before we start, and I said, because the last one I named it Paranormal, and we barely even talked Paranormal. So this one I said, Episode 7, Paranormal, we really mean it this time.
I love it. I love it.
I was like, yeah, really? So that was funny. Anyway. Okay.
Well, I know it's getting late because I've got to work in the morning.
Yeah.
Sorry, all of our fans and listeners. I don't mean to complain.
Well, I was just going to.
Construction worker.
Yeah. I was going to tell you, we're like about an hour 15 we're in. So, yeah, this is like wrap up time, definitely.
Man, I love this.
Yeah, it goes by.
And I can't wait for, like, I know that as time goes, I really, all of our listeners, please contact us. Tell us your opinions. Tell us what you think. Yeah. I live for that, and I can't wait to hear from you.
Tell us your stories.
Tell us your stories. Tell us what you think we could improve on, what you like, what you dislike. Yeah. I know, that Jameson dude's a dick.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, my God, you know,
you'd be pretty poor.
I'd have a dollar. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I'd have a dollar. I'd have $100 because all those hundreds are all the times you were like, sarcastically, I'm a dick.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. It all came from you. You're the only one calling yourself a dick. Anyway.
Oh, geez, Louise.
All right, man. Well, this has been amazing as always. I can't wait
to hear what you say about the edit when you're like, oh, yeah, you're on Tangent Island hardcore.
Me paranormal rambling, I don't think any of that was coherent, so it'll be fine. There's going to be There's going to be people who are on those investigations or remember bits that we go, oh, wait a minute, I was there. That did not happen. He just made it up. Then you come on the podcast and set the story straight. Anyway, all right, so everybody, thank you so much for listening to episode 7. You get to hear these two crazy guys just ramble on and go to Tangent Island, and it was another blast. So thank you so much, my dear friend Jameson, my co-creator. I could not do this without you, and thank everyone for listening.
You guys are just all awesome. We do this because we get to share what we love with you. That's really why this is so fun. And not to mention, I get to talk to my brother. I could talk to you all day.
So. I know. We could do this forever. It's crazy. I got feedback yesterday, and they're like, they love the podcast because it's like, you guys just make it so much fun. You two are just having a conversation. And that's exactly what it is. I'm having a conversation with my brother about things we want to talk about. And that's the secret.
Fantastic.
All right, my
everyone
friend.
Have a wonderful 2 weeks until you hear us again. Until then, enjoy the journey.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, enjoy the journey. That's where we're leaving it. And